one, just to make it out, and two, to do something productive. And one thing that I believe God did for me, and I think he's doing for a lot of people, we just have to recognize it, is that he's putting people in our lives that can help us get from point A to point B. And then you're just honoring those relationships. You're learning what you can from those relationships. And I think just because I didn't have my father and a lot of my friends didn't have their father in the household, that he would start putting like coaches and male teachers in my life that would just give me those little nuggets that would help me get from point A to point B. Or, you know, when I was participating in sports, that coach would come pick me up to take me to practice because I didn't have any way to get there unless I walked. And we're talking, you know, 10, 15 miles to get to practice. So, you know, I think God is just kind of just, you know, helped kind of just carry me along the way. And so when I was facing a lot of those adversities, part of me really at that time didn't even realize that I was going through these challenges. It was just the way life was. And so when I look back now, of course, in hindsight, I could see God's hand on my life and the relationships that I started establishing, the type of friends that I had. You know, we had these goals, we had these ambitions, and that we kind of gravitated to each other. But it was through those male relationships that kind of just kept us, especially kept me, kind of on the straight and narrow, even when I wanted to entertain doing other things. So I think that's really how I kind of overcame a lot of those issues. I mean, there wasn't nothing real deep. There wasn't nothing that was like supernatural. I think God's hand was just supernatural, but I think God's hand being on my life, being on my family life, I realized that he actually had a purpose for me. And so now today, I'm just honoring that and trying to live out that purpose.
Wow. You know, and that's so fortunate that, you know, God has a way of placing his hands of protection over our lives when we don't even see it. And especially at a very young age where we're, you know, we're most vulnerable and we're most, you know, like sponges, we absorb everything, but we don't see the little things, the small thing that God's that he does in our life. Now, I want to ask this question. Who inspires you and why?
So for me, it's not really just one person that really inspires me. I think I'm one of those introverts. For one, I'm an introvert, so I don't want to say I overthink, but I do think about things in a lot deeper manner. And I try to look at things from multiple point of views. And I just constantly, that's just kind of part of my characteristics, is, you know, it's just kind of how I function. And so I find inspiration from a little bit of everything. You know, let's, you know, in my childhood, if I saw someone who wasn't as a great athlete, like as I was, and he made it out of D.C. or he or she went to college on an athletic scholarship, that was inspiration for me. But if they can do it, I can do it. You know, seeing coaches kind of just getting back to the community and understanding that they actually had a very similar path. And if they can do it, then I can do it. And so I think that was kind of part of my inspiration. I used to get inspirations from, like, Young and the Restless, like Victor Newman. He was one of my, even though he's a fictional character, but, you know, just the things that he was doing on the Young and the Restless was inspiring me. Like, you know, I wanted to be this great entrepreneur. I wanted to make an impact for my family and stuff like that. And so I was just finding just small inspirations from everywhere. And then I would just kind of slowly move step by step towards those goals. And I think that's kind of how it's always been for me. You know, kind of just sitting back, watching people, how they move, how they kind of cultivate relationships and stuff like that. And if I see something that speaks to me, then I'm like, ooh, I like that. You know, I think I could do the same thing. And, you know, those habits that I create, trying to not really imitate someone, but using them as inspiration, motivation, setting a goal has allowed me to create a life that, you know, to be honest, I'm very proud of.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just all those different things. But it's hard for me to say who inspires me just because inspiration comes from so many different places.
I definitely agree with that. I think I've, you know, since I've been here in New York and, you know, being from the South, I think my eyes are open to a different, a broader, more like the bigger focus, the bigger picture of things. And I see so many things that causes my heart to leap or causes me to think in another perspective or, you know, just see things in a different light. And I think being inspired by each other or, you know, something of nature is definitely a God's word. This is opposed to you. Working with youth has its ups and downs. And as a mentor who challenged, what challenges have you faced and what did you learn from them?
You know, so working with the youth has always kind of been something that's kind of came natural for me. Mm-hmm. I even remember being in high school, you know, playing summer league basketball, playing AAU, and then I would turn around and coach, like, the next younger team.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be 15, 16 years old playing for my team, and then I'll be coaching 12-year-olds. And so I think, you know, over the years of just always working with people younger than me, I've kind of got to a place where I felt comfortable working with the youth.
Mm-hmm.
And just because I had so many ups and downs, I can kind of relate to other people's ups and downs. You know,
mm-hmm.
I've experienced, you know, the loss of a brother. You know, my oldest brother was killed. I've experienced, you know, my mom, you know, passing away with cancer. I've seen so much violence and,
mm-hmm.
You know, just so many different things that I've experienced. I think God has really allowed me to use those experiences to help move people forward, move children forward.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also understand that, you know, a lot of our prosperity is based on our experiences. And so what I want to do is I want to help children really gain more experiences and have more personal enrichment because I know through those things they're going to have these lessons that can really make an impact on their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of the ups and downs, if I can give them more and more positive experiences and give them the personal enrichment programs, I think that's what helped us really kind of overcome any of the adversity that we deal with, being a mentor or just having a program that really helps children move forward in their life.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you talk about challenges, I think, you know, it's just like anything else. You know, you look at how to provide for a lot of these children's goals, you know, if it's going to take finances, if it's going to take time, if it's going to take your talent. And I think those just kind of present themselves as challenges independently just because I'm only one person.
Mm-hmm.
And I only have a limited amount of resources. Mm-hmm. So I try to, you know, gather or build a team to really kind of support the cause. We put out a vision in front of us and, you know, we try to move in a direction that's going to really benefit the next generation. And I think that's really where it comes down to, because these are the things that I really wanted for my life and I would take them.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm in a position to do these different things. That's really my heart's desire, is mm-hmm. to provide them with personal enrichment that's going to expose them to a different way of living, a different point of view. I remember when I first went to college, being in D.C., when I went to college in North Carolina, like, the culture was just so different.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a culture shock for me just because no longer was I in a city, no longer I had to worry and look over my shoulder and stuff like that anymore. And because of that experience, I became more diverse,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that's the type of thing that I want to do for this next generation. It's not necessarily going away for college, but But if I can say, okay, let me build some type of STEM program and say, let me expose you to this form of technology, let me expose you to coding, let me expose you to some engineering or a level of mathematics or science, now I am giving you these personal experiences that's going to enrich your lives, where now you can make wise decisions. So, yeah.
Well, that's well said. I feel like for men to step into this place of absentee for certain young men, whether white, black, or any background, is a definitely a keynote. Another question I want to ask. This is something very spiritual. As a follower of Christ, what season are you currently in?
So, for me, I think the season that I'm in, I'm just a student.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, and I don't know if that season will ever, you know, will ever end. There are moments where I do put on my teacher's hat. There are moments where I put on my mentor hat, my counselor hat. But I think to the core of who I am, I'm always learning, right? You know, I'm building this relationship with Christ, so the relationship that I build with people are stronger. And building that relationship with Christ, I have to humble myself and just learn. You know, learn from his teachings, learn from the kingdom of God, learn from other individuals who understand different theologies or different ideologies when it comes to this faith. And so I think for me, I've always just been a place where I want to learn. Now, I haven't always been the greatest student, you know, especially from an academic standpoint. But I think, you know, when I look at the core of who I am, and it kind of goes back to one of the first questions you asked me, how did I overcome adversity? I've always had that posture of being a student, right? So when those men came into my life to teach me something, you know, it was easy for me to kind of humble myself and just learn. And so I've taken those same habits, and I apply it to my faith. And so when we're talking about being a follower of Christ, when we're talking about, you know, doing things for the kingdom of God, I always do those things as a student, right? So now I can extend a level of grace. I can extend a level of mercy. I can extend a level of love because I'm extending it from a place of a student, someone who's learning from the master, who's learning from the king. And I can see the grace that he's given me. I can see how he's forgiven me. So now I can do the same for others. So I always just keep that posture as a student. I mean, that's really the season that I'm in. I'm just learning. And as I learn, I just try to share.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I like that student part. Sometimes I don't like to be the student because, you know, I know everything. If you don't realize it by now, I know everything, Mr. Warwick, and it ain't nothing you could tell me about everything. You know, and that's funny you say that because my neighbor who is a just graduated from Pace University, you're talking about a grounded young man in God. And I was telling him a couple of days ago, I said, you know, it's good that God put you in us in each other's life. I said, because for some reason I had to become the student and you had to, and you're the teacher. He said, yeah, I find that quite funny. I said, well, no, I think it's because we have to go through certain seasons. We are in season of transition. We are in season of learning. We're in a season of, stepping back and stepping forward, you know, for me. And, you know, that's things that we can appreciate, you know, because if you're learning, that means you're growing. You know, you're growing in a level, in an area of your life you may not have placed yourself before, but God sees where you need to be. So I definitely agree with that.
I want to say this, too. You know, the whole idea of being a student is really understanding that you have to follow instruction, right? And truly that is, you know, That's the kingdom, right? That's kingdom ideology. You know, when we talk about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven,
mm-hmm.
right? It's understanding that God set forth, no matter what you call it, you know, commandments, he set forth, you know, policy, rules, regulations, mm-hmm. bylaws, no matter what you want to call it, God set forth some rules to accomplish a certain agenda,
mm-hmm.
right? And when you're a student, you have to understand that you have to fall under these instructions and follow directions.
Right.
And then the most important part of it, you have to be tested.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part that I think a lot of people struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like the testing, right? So when you go through these hard times or when you go through these challenging times, you have to keep this mindset that, hey, maybe I'm being tested to see if I actually learn this thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
This rule. Maybe I'm being tested to see if I actually understand what grace is all about,
mm-hmm.
what mercy is all about. Maybe I'm being tested to see if I really understand unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not necessarily things are happening to you, but things are happening for you so
right.
you can elevate to another level.
Well,
and if you can kind of keep that mindset, then when you face these challenges, you can say, okay, this is just temporary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to make permanent decisions
mm-hmm.
off of a temporary experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the posture of a student.
Oh, you gonna deserve your Chick-fil-A gift card today. That's what I'm talking about, Mr. Word. You hit the nail on the head, because there are times we don't even want to follow half of the instructions, let alone
right.
all the instructions. So, you know, that's what them stubborn believers. So, but and to be in awe of God and be in God's grace and allow him to maneuver is, you know, something I was writing today earlier about trust. You know, is allowing God to do what God said he would do, to establish that promise, to know that he's a keeper of his word. And I looked at that word trust this morning, and I'm telling you, I got chills all over my body, because I was like, oh my goodness, here it is that I'm not allowing God to do what he said he was going to do. I'm not allowing him to fulfill his word, to fulfill that promise. So I'm going to come in here. I'm going to pretend that I'm the teacher and never the student, and I can't be taught. And there's a level of trust that you have to put yourself in the midst of. You know, and trusting God and trusting the Holy Spirit and trusting Jesus, you know, in the word, you know, all that kind of rolls in together. So I'm just going to shout amen today. I'm just going to say amen.
Yeah. You know, one thing when you were talking, I kind of heard in the spirit that, you know, that you can't serve two masters.
What?
And so when we talk about, you know, that posture of being a student and humbling yourself,
mm-hmm.
understanding that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He's the King. So what does that mean? That he's in charge.
Yes.
Now, if he's in charge, that means you need to decrease so he can increase.
Mm-hmm.
That means stop putting your will above his.
Come on.
And this is how we get in trouble, because we base a lot of things on our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this one small point of view. It's almost like we have this tunnel vision because of all these things that's happening around us.
Mm-hmm.
But God can see things on a larger scale, right? He can see how the pieces are going to set, how the pieces are going to be set up. He can see how all the dominoes are going to fall,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. And if we understand that, then we have to say to ourselves that, okay, Lord, I trust you. I don't know what's about to happen,
mm-hmm.
but I trust you. I don't know, you know, if I'm going to be able to, you know, pay this bill, but I trust you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if my spouse is going to leave me, but God, I trust
mm-hmm.
you. Lord, I'm going to be everything that you wanted me to be. And then I'm going to leave everything else in your control. Because, Lord, I understand that you're in charge. And if we can get into that place and allow God to allow, you know, our faith through Jesus Christ to be our teacher, then I will almost say 50 to 60% of the stuff that we deal with will disappear.
Amen.
You think about a lot of the problems that you have at work. You think about a lot of the problems that you have in your relationships. It's because you're creating those problems. And you're not allowing God to have his way. You prayed for that job. You prayed for that marriage. And then somewhere down the line, you want to do things your way. So, anyway, I want to get real preachy, but
you didn't have we to have stop. To get into a place. You didn't have to stop, brother. What is you doing?
I really felt that in my spirit because I think we get to a place where once we get something, I did it. Yeah. You didn't do anything.
Yeah.
It was through the grace of the building through God's love that he extended this level of grace to you that were you able to have this opportunity to get that job.
Yep. Come on now.
That you had the strength to endure, you know, those relationships. And now that you're in there, now you want to do it your way. It doesn't work that way.
It don't
at all.
At all.
That's why I'm saying you have to follow instructions. You have to if God is telling you, you know, don't put money above me. Then why is God always the last one to, you know, whatever you're doing? So if God, let me give you a better example. We all know that that the church, the ecclesia, is made up of a community. The church is not that pastor. The church is not the name on the building. The church is the assembly of believers. And in order for these assembly of believers to move forward in executing God's agenda, it's going to take finances. Now, your heart should be saying, okay, I want to see God's agenda be accomplished. So why is it when it comes to your finances, and it's not about the tithe or the giving or anything like that. We're talking about your heart. Right? Why is it that God is always the last one to get finances pushed his way? If you know that these things need to happen in your community, then that's what you should be blessing people so those things can happen. It's not about the law or commandment of a tenth. It's about a heart issue. And so I say all of that to say, you know, we have to get to a place where we understand that God is trying to do things in a particular way so we can be blessed, so we can have favor on our lives, so our community can elevate to another level. Because when those things happen, we understand that God is going to get the credit. His kingdom is going to get the credit. And when he gets the credit, more people want to see that and become believers. Because we have a king that has unlimited resources. So, anyway, I just want to say, you know, I just talk to a lot of people, I guess, over time. They get stressed out. They build up a level of anxiety. And at that point, I always have to ask them, you know, where's your faith?
Yeah. Oh, ye a little faith.
He provided for you before. Will he provide for you again?
Oh, ye a little faith. How can you call yourself a believer and you worry, you faith and fear don't swim in the same boat? That's for somebody. Y'all get that on the way home.
I think worry is a natural response. I think stress is a natural response. But once it gets to a place where it's unhealthy, that's when it becomes your master.
Yeah, that you have hit the nail on the head. You end up, Dale Bronner preached this about, you know, allowing God to do what he said he would do. Because you don't realize that when you talk about stress and you talk about the anxiety, you bring on the dis-ease to yourself. You bring the sickness to yourself. He said, I will give you peace that passes all understanding. you can't pay for that. That has no money attached to it.
I think, you know, one of God's instructions is, he's telling us, right? He's giving us instructions. He's telling us that life and death is in the power of our tongue. Right? That's he's telling us. He's teaching us this. But yet, we still speak death over our lives. And when I'm not talking about a physical death, but a financial death,
yeah,
a spiritual death,
yeah,
a mental death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like our soul is crying, and all you have to do is get to a place and you speak life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I understand my circumstances are difficult right now, but I'm speaking life over my circumstances. I'm going to decree and declare that I'm coming through this.
Yeah.
I'm going to decree and declare that he's going to provide me with some opportunities that I can do more.
That's good.
I can be more.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to have an overflow where I'm going to be able to bless others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that we tend to do, and I was having this conversation with a client of mine, and she was talking about how much chaos is in her life and how she's asking God, you know, for, you know, a level of peace. You know, and so God's going to give you the opportunities for you to be peaceful. But what do those opportunities look like? You're going to have to be in some form of chaos, and now you have to take the approach of being peace. You can't recognize peace when nothing's going on.
Well, you cannot.
Recognize the light. You can't recognize light unless there's darkness.
Come on.
Right? And so when you're asking for strength in a situation, he's going to give you an opportunity to be strong. When you're asking for love, he's going to give you the opportunity to show love. This stuff is just not going to happen. You want a blessing? He's going to give you the opportunity for you to be blessed. Now, Lord, order my steps that I make the right decision.
Yes.
This is the posture of being a student. It's you really getting out of the way and letting God do what he does best. Stop trying to be the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in you, but you are not the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. That's why he said, I'm going to send a comforter.
You know, I got so many things going through my head.
You're good. Hey, this is your platform. Your way.
When we look at scripture, when we look at the gospel, we see Jesus being baptized. And the first thing that God says, the Father says, he said, this is my beloved son. So the Father gives affirmation to who this guy is, right? He calling him a son. And then the Holy Spirit descends on him. And then what does the Holy Spirit do next? It leads him into a wilderness. He has to be tested. That is a place where we get frustrated and mad at. God, how can this be happening? Is it possible that God is leading you there so you can grow up? You have an assignment on your life, and we need you to mature. This is why you're going through that test. You need to grow up. We need you spiritually mature to handle the next level, the next level that he wants to take you to. Okay, I'm done.
I'm just going. Everybody stand. This is standing ovation. Hallelujah. That was. You know what? Because that's the reason why we have the pressing. You know, the shaking down, runneth over, so man can pour into our bosom. This is the pour into. This is a part of the segment we call pour into, because we need that. You know, you can't say, oh well, I don't know, because you know. You know, if there's a word that has been sowed into your life, or someone came along and gave you some vital information, that was a seed sown. So we take it into account, Mr. Warwick, that, you know, we need sound doctrine. We need something. We need some meat and potatoes, because we're not in an area in our lives where we get milk anymore. We got to have some meat and potatoes, some things that they're going to stick, you know, some nice spiritual food. So I agree with you most definitely, but you hit the nail on the head. So we're going to give him a praise and hallelujah today. Yes, we are.
All glory be, God. I promise you that, you know, we're just living in some challenging times.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I turn on the TV or, you know, I'm conversing with friends and having conversations with other individuals, I hear the pain. I hear the frustration, right? But in order for something to be resurrected, it has to die.
Yes. Come on.
You can't be scared of death. You can't be scared of things falling apart. Right? If you want things to be great again, then things have to die.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I ain't going to say nothing, Lord. I'm just going to wave my hand. I want to know this. This is our last question of this interview. I want to know, what are your future endeavors you're currently pursuing now?
Future endeavors. I am a type of person who really just takes things one step at a time, one day at a time. At some point in my life, I think I would love to get into a place where I am teaching theology full time at a university. I think at some point in my life, I think I would like to do local level politics. I think for me, it's really just trying to understand the calling that's on my life and submitting to that calling wherever it takes me. I've had some major endeavors that I've accomplished. I've done some amazing things in my life, in my past, where people counted me out. I've thrived. I've been a real estate investor. I've done all these wonderful things. So I've had businesses. I made a lot of money. I think I've impacted a lot of lives, but I'm looking for fulfillment. I'm looking for significance, and I'm allowing God to kind of dictate what that looks like for me. And so even though my heart has these desires, I'm asking God, if it's not in your will, then I don't want to pursue it, right? I don't want to be some mayor or councilman or whatever in some local government if that's not in God's will. I don't want to be this theological instructor at a university if that's not in God's will. If he wants me to just keep posting, you know, messages on social media, then so be it. I can be at peace with that, you know, just because that's a part of his will. And so, I have these future goals. I have some endeavors I want to accomplish. But I'm very, very careful about speaking too much about it, just because I don't want to put myself in front of his will, his time. That makes sense?
Right. Oh, absolute. You don't put the horse before the carriage.
Me and my wife, we are, we're looking at doing a lot of different things. But I don't really run to those things. I claw.
Amen.
Yeah, I take that one step, and then I say, okay, Lord, tell me what I need to do. Do I need to go left, right, or keep going straight?
Amen.
You know, that's kind of really how I've started approaching my life. And it's kept me out of trouble.
Yeah.
You know? Amen. So a lot of troubles. It saved me money.
Okay.
You know, getting into opportunities that wasn't fruitful.
Yeah.
So, you know, I am really just, you know, going to the King and saying, you know, please order my steps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Well, I am just so thankful because like I said, you never know how spirits connect and how people, we come across each other for time and a reason and a season. Absolutely. And I am just so thankful for having you on the show today and for our viewers to learn a little bit more about you and for them to also stay in touch with you. So tell them how they can find you, what social media platforms you're on, any other things you want them to know about Dr. Tony Warwick.
Yeah, you can just find me on most, social media outlets. I am Tony Warwick. That's I am Tony Warwick. Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, even though I don't really post anything. I still have a profile there. I have a website, TonyWarwick.com.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since the whole COVID-19, I haven't kept up to date on my website, but you can find out information about me there. And then I have some books that, you know, you definitely can purchase and support me by Jesus and Coffee. I have those two series in the Jesus and Coffee that I believe that would be a blessing to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I share a lot of my, I share a lot of my personal stories, just trying to help people to deal with their daily lives, some mm-hmm. of the challenges that they're dealing with and how to overcome those challenges. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm there. Just Google Tony Ward.
Absolutely.
I'm pretty sure something will pop up.
Something will pop up. We better get the right things, too. We don't want no foolishness. But anyways, I am, like I said, I'm so thankful that you were able to join me on the show during your free time. I don't know what's going on there in Washington as far as COVID-19. So we just pray all is well around your house between with you and your wife and your family and so forth. We just send, you know, God's angels of protection over you guys. And we just thank you for this time and this this moment. And we thank you for your word of encouragement and inspiration going forward. And I hope to have you back on the show again. So you guys, without further ado, this is Virtuous Diva in company with Dr. Tony Warwick. You guys stay easy, stay blessed. Peace out. Don't hang up.